Okay, we're back now with Dr. Quentin Henning. He is a technical advisor to Goliath Resources. That's the sponsor for today's show. Goliath Resources is developing a multi-million ounce gold equivalent deposit in the British Columbia, the Golden Triangle of British Columbia. It's a company I've been following for a number of years, since about 2020 or so when the company made the discovery. Before I say hello to Quentin, I should tell you that the stock trades in Canada at the symbol GOT. You can buy it down here in the States as I have under GOTRF. 78.4 million shares, recently trading at about 54 cents. That gives it a market cap of about $42 million. And I think it's interesting to note that this stock is pretty tightly held, actually. I think Crescat Management owns Crescat Capital, I should say, owns 19.9%. Sprott owns a chunk, I think, I'm not sure exactly how much, about 9% perhaps. And management owns a chunk of stock too, so around 10%. So, you know, it's pretty well held, pretty well owned. I always like to see good, strong hands in a company that I invest in, knowing that, you know, there's big boys behind me to help reduce the risks. The financial risks. So with that said, welcome, Quentin. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you very much, Jay. Pleasure to be here.
Now, I believe that the discovery was made, actually the Gold Digger property, the gold silver discovery was made, I believe, in 2020, but maybe the first drill holes were put down in 2021. And boy, it's been a very successful exploration effort so far. Could you talk a little bit about what the company's achieved to date, maybe a little bit about the grades and the sort of scale of a mineralization that's been laid out so far?
Yeah, sure thing. Look, this is in the southern part of the Golden Triangle. So it's, you know, it's a little ways north from Kitsault, British Columbia, which is a town on one of the inlets up in that region. And it's really in the same vicinity as many, many well-known deposits, like Dolly Varden is up there. People remember the Homestake Ridge deposit. Dolly Varden now owns that. Ascot is to the north, you know, the old Premier mine and so forth. So we're in a well-positioned area in terms of, you know, deposits with big endowments like this. Okay, now the discovery was actually made, I believe, in 2019 when the receding ice, you know, from the glacial fields there started to melt back and basically uncovered this area that has never been seen by human eyes. They sampled some quartz vein material with sulfides sticking out of the ground and were able to you know, see some very high values of the gold and silver. All right. Now, in 2020, they came back in and they did some technical work in terms of doing saw channel samples. Okay, they went up and they recognized that this structure, this Sherbet zone, which is it's really interesting because it dips at about 40, 45 degrees and it basically goes up and it wraps around the mountain. Okay, so, you know, it's almost like the deposit is up, like if you're in the valley floor, you're looking up at the deposit. All right, they recognized that this thing wrapped around the mountain like a giant horseshoe. And so they went in and they did saw channel samples along strike on this vein, and they got some very good numbers, you know, usually a few meters up to even a few tens of meters of good gold, say 5 to 10 gram gold, along with high silver, often in the 100+ gram range for silver. All right, now that's kind of what whetted our appetite back in 2020 when I saw that data come through. And just the absolute simple geometry of the Sherbet zone, you know, planar zone where there's basically outcrop up and around for over a kilometer along strike. It's not hard to figure out, okay, this looks like it could have some ounces in it. Mm-hmm. All right. So we jumped in late 2020, I'm pretty sure, or maybe it was early 2021. Mm-hmm. That funded the company to do a first round of drilling. They basically went up on top of the mountain and poked holes at this dipping zone. Okay, so the geometry lends itself to, you know, fairly simple drill approach here. And they hit, you know, I think they drilled 20-odd holes, 24, I think, or something like that. And they hit the Sherbet zone in every single hole. All right, now that was a very, very good start. particularly given that one of the holes he drilled was way down dip. It showed that, it wasn't just a small vein up at the top of the mountain, that there was some down dip extent to this thing, and it continued for, I believe, up to 1.3 kilometers down dip.
No.
Right, so that's where they left things in 2021. They had about 24 drill intercepts in aggregate. The width of the Sherbet was averaging, around 6 meters, and the gold equivalent grade was on the order of 6.4, I think 6.3 or 4 grams per ton. A very, very good outcome. Now, they came back in 2022 with a more aggressive approach, and they were able to drill again from the top down for the most part in the Sherbet area, and hit again on most of the drill holes that have been drilled to date. They're seeing the Sherbet zone very predictable, very continuous. Now, what's interesting is the thickness and the grade of the overall grade of these drill intercepts is just about exactly where it was in 2021. So it's proving to be a fairly predictable zone. Now, it's not to say it's uniformly mineralized.
Sure.
It's definitely there structurally. It's present in these drill holes, and there are places where it's high grade. They're starting to see some high grade shoots evolve, and in places where it's lower grade. But overall, you can get a clear sense of what they might have. Now, they drilled a few other holes, we'll call it more exploration geared holes, along other structures that they identified, particularly this northeast trending more vertical structure that kind of adjoins the Sherbet structure. It might even be a feeder for it, and they had some very high grade values, gold grade values in that structure as well. Okay, they only have a couple points across that, but man, that looks good. Like that one looks like a winner. All right, so what are we looking at? Well, when you start to do some simple math, back of the envelope math, you probably got 1.x, maybe 1.3, 4 or 5 square kilometers of area footprint on the Sherbet zone, and the average width, call it 5, 6 meters, and at average grade of maybe 6.3 or 4 gram gold equivalent, you can start to come up with big numbers, and people can do that math. But I've projected this thing should deliver somewhere between, say, a 3 and a 6 million ounce gold equivalent discovery.
Right, gold equivalent. And could you give our viewers some sense of the relative value between gold and silver at current prices, perhaps?
Yeah, sure. The
Roughly.
ratio that I think most people have been using lately, just because the trend for the silver gold ratio has been, the upper 70, 78, 80. That's about the range that we're using for converting. So, to break down the gold equivalent number, it's about 4.5-ish, maybe up to 5 grams gold, and then a lot of the value, say a gram, gram and a half, is in silver. And then the balance of it is actually in the base metal component, which, it sounds trivial, but it's about 1.5% or 2% of zinc and lead. And why that's important is because of the metallurgy. And that's a whole different story. But the metallurgy of this thing is unbelievable. Okay. The metallurgical test work that was done last year as a preliminary test showed very good gravity recovery. But it also showed a very high recovery of the balance of precious metals, gold and silver, into concentrates that also focus, concentrating the lead and the zinc and such. Okay, so basically, you can achieve 90+% recovery of the precious metal into these wonderful high grade concentrates that also have either lead or zinc or both, like a bulk concentrate. Why is that important? Well, it means you might not need to use cyanide at all for this deposit. It also means you probably don't need to grind it all that finely, because the mineralogy is very coarse grained, and quite frankly, the sulfide minerals that you're trying to float in the gold even are coarse enough, you can liberate them at a fairly coarse size. So, I mean, like, this is a dream metallurgically. It looks like it's going to be a real winner.
Wow. That's really great. Does the company have any plans to do any sort of a maiden resource anytime, or are they going to drill another season or so?
I think they'll drill another season. The reason, part of the reason for that is that when they were drilling in 2022 in particular, they started to see other structures pop up. And, you know, these are sub-parallel structures. So you got the Sherman zone, but you have, you know, other structures above and even maybe below. And then they have this new high-grade zone that trends, it's more vertical, and it trends to the northeast, adjacent to Sherbet. So I think they want to start drilling some of these other areas to see how that all plays out. But, you know, I do think they're on a good track to getting resource-level data. There's no question.
Yeah, Quentin, you do a great job with your hands. You know, you sort of show those layered levels and so forth. I would just suggest to our viewers that they might want to go to Crescat Capital. Their weekly, they have a weekly video that's available on YouTube. It's excellent in terms of the market issues that that are discussed. And then Quentin usually comes on and talks about the geological aspects, the economics of different projects, and so forth. But there, in addition to his hand movements, he's also got some wonderful 3D models. He flips around, and you can kind of really get a visual sense of in the third dimension of how these things hang together. It's very, very helpful. So if you're really interested in understanding why you're putting your money into certain companies and certain projects, Quentin can help you an awful lot. He's helpful here. All I'm saying is I'm putting in a plug for Crescat Capital. They're Friday. Every Friday, I guess it's around, supposed to start around 2 o'clock. Usually they're busy, might be 2:30. There's usually a ton of people waiting to get on and watch it. But I, you know, I'm not trying to talk people away from this show to go to Crescat, but I will say that if you're really serious about understanding the geology and the economics of these projects that you might want to invest in, it would be helpful. You don't have to, but it's if you care about why you're putting your money somewhere, you might want to do that. Well, Quentin, I'm just wondering also, so we're probably going to have to wait another year or two for a maiden resource, but we can kind of get a sense based on what you're saying here, what might be in store. But I would like to ask you, because in one of your recent Crescat videos, you talked about Thomas Monnicki, who is the Colorado School of Mines. That's your alma mater. He's a scientist that I know you know him very well. And he did some work on this project. And I think it, you know, I guess he's sort of in understanding the geology. Could you talk to our viewers and explain why that's might be very important?
Yeah, certainly. Look, Thomas has a student working on this. So he and his student have done quite a bit of work over the past few months to better define how this deposit formed. And why is that important? Because if you know how it formed, you can it gives you a lot of input into how you look for more. Okay, like how do you chase this thing? And what they found is that this system is related to intrusive activity. It's if you look at the Golden Triangle, there's a long history of mineralization in that region. That spans a period of well over 100 million years. I mean, it's a profound piece of earth crust that has had many repeated events that have generated ore deposits, okay? And a lot of the deposits are of older age. We'll call it maybe 180 million years in that range, or even a bit more, okay? And you know, the question when this Sherbet zone was discovered is this one of these older systems, or is it something different? Okay. It, you know, one of the striking features of it is that absolute predictable planar shape to it. It's a very flat stone. And, you know, you think, okay, if there was a lot of tectonic history, you know, that should be folded and buckled and changed. Well, we're finding, no, it's not. And so then what is it related to? Well, it turns out to be one of in the more younger age spectrum of the Golden Triangle. And it's probably related to intrusions that have come up during a period, perhaps during what we call the Cretaceous. So say somewhere between 55 and 60, you know, or 70 or 80 million years ago. So it's more of the younger generation, which means we can kind of put our finger. Now we can look around us and say, ah, this thing is probably related to that intrusion over there, i.e. it's going to be connected at some level. Now it could even be connected, of course, to a mineralized porphyry. And that's certainly a possibility here. So it raises a number of intriguing possibilities.
Yeah. So it has potential size maybe beyond what you can see so far.
Correct. Exactly. Yeah. It could be much bigger. Yep.
Quentin, we're in terms of location and infrastructure, that sort of thing is always important in projects. It's in BC. Can you talk to that a little bit?
Yeah, so it's in the southern part of the Golden Triangle. Now, what does this mean? Well, if you look at the town of Kitsault, which is again on one of these fjords, these inlets that comes into the interior or to British Columbia, it gives road access and other things, is much easier. So, you got Alice Arm, you got Kitsault in that area. Alice Arm is it's a little tiny village that you can access directly up to Dolly Varden, for example. And then, if you had to build a road over to Sherbet, it would probably be on the order of a few kilometers, maybe 4 kilometers, which is absolutely nothing in terms of building roads in British Columbia. Okay, so this is a very important advantage this project has. It is not, hugely remote and, distal, and it's not going to take a huge amount of capital. You got potential road access there. You also have power in the region too, because hydroelectric power
Hydroelectric.
is big in that area. Okay, so there's a lot of very good things working for this project. Also, if you ended up building a mill and you make concentrates, well, guess what? You're right at tidewater. Okay, so there's a lot of really big pluses to this project. The other advantage I'll point out, which isn't necessarily related to geography so much, but is the deposit itself being above the valley. You can put your drive in and you work upward. Okay, that's amazing. Most times you have to sink a shaft, or you have to dig down to get to the darn thing. In this case, you work up, which is really easy because you got gravity working with you.
Gravity, yeah. I was going to ask you about that because I remember seeing the topography of this thing, and as you explained, it sort of runs up the mountain and over on the other side, I guess. So it's any native issues there? That's always something that you wonder about.
Look, the native corporations in this area, the native First Nations in this region, are pro mining, which is good. And they're, from what you see around news with some of the other companies in the area, even though Sherbet is an earlier stage discovery, you can see that there's a good advancement of, like, Dolly Varden, for example, and other projects. So I'm very confident that this project could be advanced. I do think that there will be also ample opportunity to work with First Nation, perhaps, putting in that mill, and so forth. So these are great opportunities in my view, and I think you have First Nations who are very savvy and mining friendly, and will understand, where their place is.
Good. Just one more question yet. It's always companies need to raise money to put holes in the ground. I think it was September 30th, the company had working capital about 5.3 million. I believe they've exercised warrants worth another 1.4 million. How far might that take them in 2023 in terms of their exploration plans? And has the company laid out its exploration plans yet? Does it know exactly where it's going to drill? Has it figured that out, how much it's going to spend and so
Yeah,
forth?
it's laid out, like, in concept, some of the exploration. Like, they've got all their drill pads and locations for drill pads designed. They know where they can put them, I guess, is the best way to put it. And they're working right now with some of their advisors, particularly SRK, in where they put infill holes to help them better to establish a resource, things like that. I would say that, they're not quite there, like, haven't designed every meter of drilling yet, but they will by the time they start drilling in June. The money that they have in the bank right now should help them get started. It is a very tight time right now. Like, liquidity in the mining space is absolutely shocking. This is, the topic of the day, is that where and how are all these companies that we love going to do their work? How do they get the money to do their work? The companies that are cashed up, like Goliath, have a much better shot. Okay, they don't need to go running back to the market. They can get started if they deem that it's needs to be a bit tighter this year, that they can't drill 24,000 meters. Maybe they got to drill 12,000 meters. Okay, but we got to kind of wish the market it turns around here, and we start to see capital come back in. But Goliath is in a good position to go ahead and start their program.
Yeah, a little wind at our backs would be welcome, wouldn't it, Quentin? I
It
think,
sure would. It
and
sure would.
very overdue, it would seem. So that's another topic. Maybe we'll talk to Jim Rogers, who's going to be up with us next. So I want to thank you, Quentin, so much for being with us again, sharing your insights into this story, and look to talk to you again sometime in the near future, hopefully, with Jim Rogers.